In November of 1981, the Blessed Virgin Mary began appearing to a Catholic schoolgirl named Alphonsine Mumurake in Kibeho, Rwanda. Our Lady told Alphonsine to tell the world that it was in need of conversion, that they lived life as they pleased and should live life for God and love one another. Alphonsine began spreading the message. However, since Alphonsine was not known for being holy or pious, just a regular girl, she was not believed. In fact, she was not just accused of lying, but of practicing black magic, because the region from which she came was known for practicing dark arts such as witchcraft. People persecuted her and would torture her while she was in ecstasy during the apparitions. One of Alphonsine's fiercest persecutors was a fellow classmate named Marie-Claire Mukangango, a tough girl from a bad family who was well-liked and very popular. Alphonsine begged Our Lady to appear to someone else, too, someone more pious so people would believe. Our Lady conceded and appeared to Natalie Mukamzimpaka, a fellow student with a sterling reputation who was known for her piety, and things got better. But Marie-Claire wasn't having it. She further incited her fellow classmates against Alphonsine and Natalie, accusing them of being in league with the devil. Then Marie-Claire started having visits from the Virgin Mary. She then kissed Alphonsine and told everyone that Alphonsine had been telling the truth all along. Since Marie-Claire had been the fiercest and most vocal opponent of the apparitions, but had now converted to a believer due to herself having visits from the Blessed Virgin Mary, people began to believe, and word spread across Rwanda that the Virgin Mary was appearing there. Two of the girls were taken on a mystical journey to heaven, hell, and purgatory. Our Lady said to Marie-Claire on that mystical journey, "I showed you so you know that the life that matters most is what is coming after the life on earth. Go tell everyone. Encourage them to live life the right way. Tell them to live without respecting God is the ultimate waste of time. They will regret it bitterly." Our Lady also said, "You have to tell the people that these places actually exist." Marie-Claire was given knowledge of how to pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary from Our Lady. It was clear that she did not have prior knowledge, since the school did not teach it, which would have been the only other possible explanation. Marie-Claire stated, "The Blessed Virgin Mary loves this rosary, and that Mary asked that the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows of the Mother of God become part of the practice promoted in the sanctuary of Kibeho and elsewhere. However," she added, "this prayer does not replace the Holy Rosary." Word spread throughout Rwanda, and people began to gather during the apparitions. One such crowd gathered at the Feast of the Assumption on August 15th in 1982. The following is from missionmagazine.com, article titled, "Our Lady of Kibeho, A Message for the World," by Sister M. Faustina Olson, January 6, 2017. Entering into ecstasy, Alphonsine began to sing her accustomed song of welcome to Our Lady, but she stopped abruptly. Six times more she began to sing, but Our Lady interrupted her every time. Alphonsine was struck by the deeply sorrowful countenance of Our Lady. The Virgin was silent for some minutes, and then she began to weep. When Alphonsine asked her why she was crying, Our Lady shed even more copious tears. Our Lady told her to sing a song that was to portend the seriousness of this particular apparition. Alphonsine began the song as directed. "People are not grateful. They don't love me. I came from heaven for nothing. I left all the good things there for nothing. My heart is full of sadness. My child, show me the love. You love me. Come closer to my heart." The Heavenly Mother had come to ask for repentance, fasting, penance, prayer, and her children were not responding. Suddenly the crowd heard Alphonsine's frightfully piercing screams. She was shown a river of blood, of decapitated heads, of corpses piled high upon each other, of untold destruction, torture, and hatred. So much blood. The horror continued to unfold before her tear-filled eyes as she saw a million headless bodies piled up in a vast land, and not a single living person to help bury the dead. As Alphonsine recounted the graphic vision, horrified parents left the scene, fearing that further descriptive words from the seers would traumatize their children. At the conclusion of the vision, the seers sang a song to Jesus, pleading for his mercy. The other two visionaries, Natalie and Marie-Claire, experienced the same dreadful vision on that day. Mass murder, the river of blood, piles of corpses. They reported seeing a tree on fire, an open chasm, and a monster. The visions lasted for hours. The seers all wept and begged the people to listen to Our Lady's plea. They had to love and forgive one another, turn in prayer to God, who is more powerful than all evil. The visionaries were shown the future massacre that would occur in Rwanda within the next 15 years. a warning to the Rwandans that if they didn't change and start praying and live their lives for God, this horrible event would occur. Beginning in April 1994 and over the course of the next 3 months, an estimated 1 million people were slaughtered. However, Our Lady made it clear that her warnings were not just for Rwanda, but the whole world. Our Lady said, "When I tell you this, I am not addressing myself strictly to you, child, but I am making this appeal to the world. Today, man empties things of their true value. Those who are continually committing sins are doing so without any acceptance that what they are doing is wrong. If I am coming here, it does not mean that my message is only for Rwanda, nor just Africa, but the entire world. The world hastens itself to ruin. It will fall into the abyss. The world is rebellious against God. It commits too many sins. It has neither love nor peace. If you do not repent and do not convert your hearts, you will fall into the abyss. Do not forget that God is more powerful than all the evil in the world. The world is on the edge of catastrophe. Cleanse your hearts through prayer. The only way is through God. If you do not take refuge in God, where will you hide when the fire has spread everywhere?" It is important to note that the apparitions of Our Lady to Alphonsine, Natalie, and Marie Claire are the only apparitions of Our Lady of Cabejo that are approved by the Catholic Church. After these apparitions, many other people came forward claiming to also have been visited by Our Lady of Cabejo, but those apparitions are not approved. If, as indicated, the events that happened in Rwanda in the 1990s would happen throughout the world, if the world did not repent, what might that look like? Now, this could mean the world rises up against us Christians and we are martyred because we are Christians, and that most definitely could be the case and would coincide with other prophecies. However, perhaps we can get an even deeper understanding. Let's take a look at the events that happened in Rwanda. Rwanda was a German province until Germany's defeat in World War I, when the League of Nations made it a Belgian province. The Europeans classified the Rwandans by their tribes. The Tutsis were the minority tribe, and the Hutus were the majority tribe, and then there was the Twa that was an extreme minority. The Europeans gave the Tutsis rule. In the early 1960s, the majority Hutus rose up and overthrew the Tutsi monarchy and set up a Hutu republic, with many of the Tutsis fleeing Rwanda. In the 90s, many of the descendants of the Tutsis that had fled in the 60s decided they wanted to come back in. They started migrating, even coming through forcefully and militarily. The Hutu president was in the middle of peace talks when his plane was shot down and he was killed. Then a minority extremist Hutu faction took over the government and declared that all Tutsis were to be killed, causing the Rwandan genocide. Marie-Claire Mukangango, one of the three visionaries, was killed in the massacre. Immaculée Ilibagiza, who survived the massacre, has written a couple books on the subject. She describes how people were her friends and neighbors just a few months before, even having been over to her house for dinner, were, at the time of the massacre, looking for her to kill her. Also, any of the Hutus who refused to participate were killed. This lasted until the French and American forces came in and stopped the bloodshed. So what I see here is something that is race or ethnic motivated, surprise, surprise, where a majority went after a minority whom they perceived as an oppressor, with the motto, "We are going to get them before they get us." So this could manifest itself in several ways. This could be blacks rising up against whites worldwide, since whites are a minority worldwide, or if it's specific to America or Europe, it could be the whites rising up against blacks or Jews or whoever. But here's the point. For the Christian, it doesn't matter. If you are the ethnicity that's being killed, you could be killed. If you are the ethnicity that's doing the killing, you could be killed because you can't participate. So either way, Christians are going to be martyred. Any Christian who participates is not a Christian. I also believe that Our Lady's lamentation that no one was listening to her was not just expressing her frustration at this particular apparition, but the combination of all her apparitions over the last 150 years. Sister Lucy said in an interview with Father Fuentes, "Father, the Most Holy Virgin is very sad because no one has paid any attention to her message, neither the good nor the bad. The good continue on their way, but without giving any importance to her message. The bad, not seeing the punishment of God actually falling upon them, continue their life of sin without even caring about the message. But believe me, Father, God will chastise the world, and this will be in a terrible manner. The punishment from heaven is imminent." Now, of course, this chastisement that's coming is conditional. If the world repents, then it won't happen. But let's face it, that's probably not going to happen, and we are going to get the chastisement. So what do we do? Well, of course, we pray the rosary. As I've said in all my videos, But here we get another weapon in our arsenal, and that's the Seven Sorrows Rosary. Our Lady wants us to pray this as well. And just to give you a motivation to pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary, the sanctuary convent in Rwanda that Mary specifically asked for the Seven Sorrows Rosary to be prayed, prayed it all day long from morning till evening. They were spared the massacre. And it's not because they were a church or a convent, because the Rwandan government would tell the Tutsis to go to the churches for safety, and then the Hutus would show up and slaughter them or burn the church down. Churches were not off limits during this massacre, which I believe is also a precursor to our future. So pray the rosary every day and add the Seven Sorrows Rosary to your prayer life as well. Until my next video, God bless.